Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder when I head out for a walk and deliver an episode to you while I stroll around. I'm Brendan Riley. Good morning, listener. Actually, good afternoon to you, but good morning to me. It's morning time, and it is a lovely early morning. I'm walking about 6:30 in the morning, and it's still cool enough that if I were just sitting out, I might even want a long sleeve shirt or something. Very nice. The squirrels are hopping around, and I see a wild bunny on the path in front of me. It's frozen because I guess it thinks I won't notice it if it's frozen, but now it's going to run away. There it goes. Boing, boing, boing. It's about a third of the size of the bunny that lives at our house, which, fair enough, because this bunny has to actually find his own food as opposed to the bunny in our house just sits around and gets fed like a king. So good morning to you all. The birds are a-chirping. Well, as is going to be my goal with the first episode of each month, when possible, I'm recording my new stats episode. Maybe I'll just call it stats. So this is the episode where I just talk about how my plays went for the month. I'm trying to find a balance here, and I'd be interested from regulars, listeners, to hear your thoughts on this, given that we're now at episode 73, something like that. How much do you want to hear my recent plays conversation? I've mentioned that I'm trying not to talk about those too much during, the shooting from the hip and from the deep segments are episodes. Those are kind of recent plays. But I'm trying not to spend too much time on what I've been playing because that's all the podcast would be then. By the time I'm done talking about what I've been playing, then 20 minutes is up. I get why some of these podcasts go 3 hours. We just want to share with you. So I'm trying to hold the what I've been playing to one or two episodes a month. I think I was thinking it would be one a month, and then I realized it was too much, so then I thought maybe I'll do two a month, but I don't recall doing one this month. I might have. A good high-quality podcast would have gone back and looked at the month's topics and seen, did I spend some time talking about what I played? I know I talked a little bit about what I played while I was traveling. It's like, anyway, so I've got a lot of statistics for you. So buckle in and get out your slide rule. I don't, whatever you do with to look at statistics, something. All right. Well, so this is my July top of the stack report here that we're on August 1st. So just as a reminder for those of you who have come in recently as listeners to the podcast, the top of the stack is a way of indicating games that I'm excited to play sometime in the coming month. I blatantly stole this bit from the podcast of Nonsensical Gamers, which you should listen to if you get a chance. It's a great show that explores board games in the same way. And they're a fun group of folks, and they do this thing called Top of the Stack, where they talk about what are the games they want to play in the next month, and then they report back. Or at least they used to. They haven't been doing that bit so much. Maybe they realize I stole it, and now they're not doing it anymore. Although, stealing a bit, they could still do it. Anyway. So, my Top of the Stack for this month was supposed to be Altiplano, Crazy Carts, and Raptor. I'm pleased to report that I got two of the three games played. Altiplano and Crazy Carts got played this month. Altiplano is a really interesting bag building game. In fact, I've already recorded and slated for your listening pleasure a shooting from the hip episode, which I then promptly invalidated or whatever. I played another game of it last night, actually, July 31st. And I don't think it changed my view of the game that much. But I will say, I'm not sure I really understand it as well as I thought I did, because in the first game, I guess I just did so badly that the second game, I finally was able to build a road. Actually, I built roads quite vigorously, and I still got my butt clobbered. Not nearly as bad. I didn't do nearly as poorly as I did in the first game against my daughter, but I still got just walloped. And I guess I just didn't really figure out how to get... oh my gosh, I forgot to add... I think I forgot to add my points from my contracts. Dang. Well, I will have to go back and look. Maybe I didn't lose so badly after all. That's really funny. Okay. So, okay. Altiplano. But it's a bag builder. If you've played Orleans, it's very similar to that in feel and in gameplay. And I would recommend it. Really interesting. It's about being... It's basically an economic game. The theme is very thin. But it's about being a farmer on the highlands in the mountains, the Andes Mountains between Peru and Bolivia. And there's an interesting bit of thematic weirdness, where the way the game works, you have these tokens and you use them, and then you get to use them again each time. Whenever you use them, you don't spend them. You use them to get stuff. So you have to kind of think about what the tokens represent. Like if you have an alpaca token, it doesn't represent an alpaca, it represents a herd of alpaca. Because you can use your herd of alpaca to get one food, but then you still have the alpaca. So if it's just one alpaca and you're using it to get food, quote, quote, then you wouldn't have the alpaca anymore. But if you have more than one alpaca, then if you think of it as a herd of alpaca, then you can see why you could get a food out of it and still have more. The second game I mentioned, Crazy Carts, that was actually a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. I don't know why. I guess I heard a number of people when the game came out in 2015, I think, giving it pretty good reviews, saying how much they enjoyed it, saying it was weird and wacky fun. It's a little on the fiddly side, which absolutely it is. But then nobody bought the game as far as I could see in it. I don't think it sold very well, and I ended up getting it as a Christmas gift for my daughter. In part because often the Christmas gifts I get are games I'd like to try out, they're like $10. So it was on clearance for, I think, $10. And it's well worth the $10. Really, pretty fun. And definitely going to be one I'm going to try to bring on, especially when we have like 8 people. That's a weird number for trying to find an interesting game. And it's funny and silly. Reminds me a little bit of, any programming game. So Galaxy Trucker or Robo Rally, where you don't quite know what your thing's gonna do, and then it crashes and stuff. So that was Crazy Carts. The one I was not able to play this month that I would have liked to was Raptor. This is a two-player game, which we've had on our shelf for well over a year. So it's not great that we haven't played it yet, but we just didn't get around to it. So that's actually going to be my top of the stack next month. So next month, the 3 games that I'd like to try to get played are Raptor, Rampage, which is about monsters destroying a city. Seems like in honor of the movie, that would be appropriate. And then Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I'm cheating a little bit here because we have 2 Buffy the Vampire Slayer games that are on our unplayed shelf. We have one board game from the early 2000s, which if you look it up, there were 2 Buffy the Vampire Slayer board games, and one of them is marketed as being not bad, or reviewed as being not bad, and the other one is, don't touch that. We have the not bad one, apparently. And then I have the relatively recent one from USAopoly, I think. So we're looking forward to trying one of those 2. I'm not picking which one it has to be. It's cheating a little bit, but I'm taking it. And then Rampage. So that's the top of the stack report. 2 out of the 3 games played, which I generally consider a passing grade. Not an A, but, a gentleman's C. All right, so there are a few, here are some other statistics for you, or there's three other kinds of lists I keep, aside from the, there's four lists I keep. There's the 10 for 10, first plays each month, shelf of opportunity, and out of the dust. So our 10 for 10, I did not do so well on the 10 for 10. I was at 49 plays going into this month, which is pretty good. The end of June, 49 out of 100 plays on my 10 for 10. That's not bad. By the end of July, I'm at 53, which means that now I'm behind pace because I have 5 months left. I mean, I had 6 months left and I played four out of 51 plays. That's not good math. So now it's worse because I have 46 plays left to go, 47 plays, and 5 months to do it in. Basically means I need to pay a lot more attention to my shelf of opportunity, really, or my 10 for 10 if I really want to get these played. I did play Gloomhaven twice more, but that doesn't help my 10 for 10 anymore because I'm well past 10. Stuffed Fables we played once, Pandemic Legacy once, Terra Mystica I played once, and Via Nebula I played once. I was not able to get Ex Libris, Century Golem Edition, Arkham Horror, Mataini, or Roll for the Galaxy played. I think I'm not going to record this anywhere because that's not how the 10 for 10 part works. But just between you and me, listeners, I'm going to knock Century Golem Edition off the 10 for 10 this month. I only need one more play to get it done. I'm also going to start Arkham Horror. There it is. Made a commitment. Two for sure that we'll get started. Okay. So that's the 10 for 10. For those of you not familiar, a 10 for 10 is a list of games where you pick 10 games and you make a plan to play each of them 10 times within a year. I did have quite a few first plays this month. The first play is a game that I've never played before that I try out for the first time. That should be easy enough to understand. I need a catchier name for that. A part of me think you could call it virgin games or something, but that seems a little... I see no reason to sexualize board gaming. At least not on the podcast. I don't know why I said that. So if you have an idea for what else might premiere games, new to me is fine. First plays this month. So I played Mystic Veil, Castellion, which is a nice little one-player game from the same guy who made Anirim. I think I mentioned this already. In between, a two-person card game, kind of about Stranger Things without actually being Stranger Things because it's not licensed. It's got an interesting push and pull mechanic that is pretty interesting. I think I said interesting twice there. It's still early. I apologize. Voluspa, which is fun, or as Blue Peg Pink Peg would say it, Voluspa! That was fun. I really like that one, and my family did too, so I think that one's probably going to become something we'll play a lot. Altiplano, I already mentioned, as well as Crazy Carts. Saltlands, I played with a buddy. That was a really fun one. Surprisingly fun, actually. I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but it ended up being kind of a adventure game. I don't think there's no dice. You're using cards and actions to fight bad guys. And you're running around on this sort of post-apocalyptic wasteland. The game is pretty good. It's super compelling because of its art. It's definitely a game I would enjoy playing again. I got to try that. That's Saltlands. A buddy of mine had that through Kickstarter. Doodle Rush is a kind of fast-paced drawing game, reminiscent of Telestrations. You're drawing, you have these little six little whiteboard in front of you, and you have six words. You spend a minute drawing on the boards, and then you put them all out, and everyone's got a minute to try to guess other people's boards. Then you have another minute to continue your drawings of the boards you haven't gotten rid of yet. Then another minute to guess, do it a third time, and you're done. So quick, simple little drawing game, but pretty fun and a little crazy, which is always, you want a game that has the word rush in the title to be a little crazy. That's my thinking. Got to try Santo Domingo, which is a really interesting little action selection game. Takes about 15 minutes to play. It's got this neat bit where there's sort of three different categories of cards, and you play a card each round, and you get stuff toward points. Either you get goods or points toward winning based on what the other players played and how well you predicted what they'd play. So a really interesting game. My wife clobbered us at it. Sheer Panic, I found and was able to play. Actually, I got it for $3 from Goodwill, and it's a really good buy for that amount. It's a 2005 Mayfair game with incredible production values. You get these little, they're not ceramic, I guess they're maybe resin, these little sheep. They're very cute, and they're in a flock, and you rearrange them in the flock to get points, basically. Fun game, not too hard to teach. We played it twice with the family. Really liked it. I think it'll stay around for a while anyway. Mentioned Crazy Carts already. Kokoro, Avenue of the Kodama, which is a reskin of the Roll and Write game Avenue. I think I mentioned this one. Actually, I mentioned this one in an episode you're going to hear, I think. It's a draw and write. So it's kind of like a roll and write, but you are flipping cards instead of rolling dice, which means that the odds of drawing something particular can be calculated a little bit more reliably than with dice. And finally, last night, July 31st, I got to try some of the new hotness from a friend who went to Dice Tower Con and was able to buy it there. And that's Coimbra, which is named after a city in Portugal. And it's about building a monastery. And so you are hiring people to work at your monastery, and you get points by running around doing stuff. It's one of those games where there's like 9 different ways to score, and you have to kind of keep track of a whole bunch of different things, and you have to generate resources and then spend them to buy things, which gets you points, and you want to kind of get an engine going. It was fun. I did decently, and points-wise, I think maybe I got second or probably third. A lot to keep track of. It reminded me a little bit of Concordia in that way. And I'm not, I guess, just in the trying to keep track of how everything clicks together. There's just a lot going on. Which is interesting. I didn't feel, I guess some people would call that heavy. I didn't feel like the game was that heavy so much as just, I guess it falls into the point salad category, because everything you do gets you points. It's just, are you getting as many points as everybody else? There's a little bit of take that. Not a ton, but there are some cards that you can play that affect the other players directly. That's Coimbra. Fun. I don't think it'll go on my buy shelf, but I would certainly play again if asked. So again, a lot of those first-time plays I got to play at Toggle Gaming, so pleased to mention them again. Okay, a couple more things. We're just about out of time. Boy, I print out my stats and I realize I have a lot of stuff to tell you. So I do keep track of my Out of the Dust plays. These are games that I've played before that have sat on the shelf for a long time and haven't gotten played. There's a podcast and a geek list about this, which I listen to and participate in. So I had 4 Dusty games this month. Tides of Madness, which is a nice little two-player game with lovely art. If you get a chance to play either this or Tides of Time, they're a really nice 15-minute drafting game, where you draft cards that score, and all the cards have symbols on them, and you basically score based on the collections of symbols you got. But of course, the cards that score symbols generally have different symbols on them. And it's a two-player game, so you have a hand of cards that you're passing back and forth. Play for 3 rounds, it's fun. Tides of Madness also has a thing where some of the cards will drive you crazy. If you take too many of those, you lose. Onirim, I hadn't played for about a year, but I played that a bunch of times here in July. Sentient, I hadn't played since just after Origins last year. Better than I remembered it. Interesting scoring mechanisms. I have to see if my wife would like it now, because after the Sagrada incident, which you'll hear about soon, my world's turned upside down. I have no idea what she would like. And then Guillotine, which I hadn't recorded a play of Guillotine in 3 years or more. Since I started recording my plays. I feel like I've played it since then, but I don't have record of it. Definitely not within the last year. Guillotine really stands up. I like that one a lot. So finally, the last thing I always like to report on is my shelf of opportunity. Some players, I guess with a bit of masochism, they refer to this as their shelf of shame. I don't do that. Yeah, it's not ideal to have a whole bunch of games that you haven't played. That's a bit, quote, shameful. But why see it as shame? I mean, I have a shelf of books I haven't read. I bought them so I could read them. My games are the same way. I have a shelf of games I haven't played, and so I bought them to play them. I know that I swiped the term shelf of opportunity from somewhere. It might be Podcast of Nonsensical Gamers. Turns out this is just a fan fiction version of that podcast, perhaps. With the added in twist of taking a walk with me. You're enjoying it. I know you are. So, my shelf of opportunity. I track it using a geek list on BoardGameGeek. You can find links to all this stuff, including a printout version of this, or a comment version of this particular stats sheet, all on BoardGameGeek, or on RattleboxGames.com in the show notes. But so I keep track of it as a geek list, and I delete things off when I play them, and I add things on at the end of each month when I acquired and don't play it. So here's the shelf of opportunity as it stands at the end of July. Three games that I acquired this month and did play. So I got them, played them, they never landed on the shelf of opportunity. And that's Sheer Panic, Santo Domingo, and Kokoro Avenue of the Kodama. All three of these fun games, I'm glad to have them. None of them are going on the immediate trade pile. So that's good. I have two games I'm adding to the shelf that I have not gotten to play yet. And that was Rampage and Kings of Air and Steam. I got both of these games, and I'm very excited to try them both. Rampage actually might get played very soon. We'll see. And then the other that's got added to the shelf was Kings of Air and Steam. So that means I added two games to the shelf. I am pleased to report, however, that I removed four games from the shelf. That was Castellon, Crazy Carts, Voluspa, and Altiplano. All of those games were on the shelf from previous months, and I've removed them now. So actually, my shelf got smaller this month, which is always a good thing. The longest game on the shelf was Crazy Carts, which was on there 8 months. And the shortest was Altiplano, which I got in June and played in July. So I guess the last thing I want to share is the overall stats. I played 44 different games this month, and I had 68 plays of those 44 games, which is pretty good to me. When you're averaging more than two plays of games a day, that feels pretty good. It means I'm doing a good job getting games played. I suspect when we get into the school year, that number is going to drop precipitously. Well, I look forward to hearing from you, and this month, obviously, or to this episode, I want to hear what did your month of July look like? What did you play? What did you add or remove to your shelf of opportunity? What do you have on the top of the stack for next month? Drop by Board Game Geek Guild 3269 and let us know. I'm Wombat929 on there. You could also reach me by email, brendan@rattleboxgames.com. That's it for me. It's August now. I am taking a bunch of boys to a trampoline park today, which should be a riot, and hopefully getting some gaming in. I hope that your day looks lovely, and thanks for taking a walk with me. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.